I despise your killing and raping. You're despicable.
Are you my judge?
It's just, you should be punished. I'm going to chop off your arm. So you ready?
Well, I hope you're ready. Ready for another edition of Asian Cinema Fusion. Hello, everyone. We're back. I'm your host, Paul Martinez, and we're here to talk, of course, by the title, Asian Cinema. Today's going to be kind of a Hong Kong-centric episode. Sometimes this works out that way. I don't plan it that way. I do try to be diverse in talking about my films, but sometimes, for whatever reason, movies I've seen, what have you, it just turns out certain ways. So it's not all Hong Kong, as we're going to see from our first entry. There's a film called Scarlet Innocence. This is from 2014 in Korea, directed by Yim Pil-sung, who he's a very good director, but hasn't done a lot of work, but stuff he's done is well received. He did the Hansel and Gretel horror film, Antarctic Journal, which is a sleeper, very good film. And he did two of the parts of a movie that we reviewed on here, might have been our first episode, Doomsday Book. He directed the first and third parts. First part was the zombie story, and the third part, which to me was the best one, was the story about the meteor headed towards Earth. I thought those were really good parts in that film. And so Yim Pil-sung I like, and so that's what really made me seek out this film, excuse me, because he was involved, because I didn't hear much about it, but I saw it was a Yim Pil-sung film, and I wanted to see something new from him. Now, the film is starring Jung-Woo Sung, who plays Shim Hak-kyu. He was in The Good, The Bad, and The Weird. He was in Cold Eyes, Reign of the Assassins. He's been in a couple of big budget films. Also starring Esom, that's spelled E-S-O-M. And she plays Dok-e, and as another part of the film, Yoon Si-jung. If you see the film, you understand. And she, I believe, was in a film called Santa Barbara, which I don't know anything about, but that's about, she's a very young actress and very, very new to the film scene. And Park So-young as Chung-yi, who I don't know from anything, to be honest. Tagline for this film, revenge is bitter. What is this about? Well, a married university professor sent to a small town to kind of wait it out until a sexual harassment allegation blows over starts a romance with a young, naive woman, only to scorn her once the allegations are dropped. This is a suspense thriller. This is a very interesting film. I heard different takes on the film. Watching it, I felt at times this was good, and then at times like it wasn't. This is very much in the vein of the Vengeance trilogy, if you're familiar with those films from Park Chan-wook, Old Boy, and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance and Lady Vengeance. If you're familiar with those films, this is kind of along that same vein, almost like vengeance going wrong type of deal. But while all the elements of those great films are there, this was just missing something. And it wasn't the acting, because I really thought newcomer Esom was excellent. And Jung-Woo Sung was, you know, very decent as well. Park So-young, for what she didn't blow me away, but she didn't have a lot to work with in the film. But she, you know, she didn't kill, she wasn't a scene killer, as I sometimes would call bad acting. So I thought the acting was fine. I thought the take on the film was fine. I just think somewhere in the storytelling is where this fell short. And I'm starting to think it lied in Hak-kyu's character, which was hard to understand. His motives are never really made clear in anything he does. And that may have been by design, but also made hard to garner a feeling about him. know, even if it's hatred towards him, like, you had a hard time understanding what kind of person he was. Was he a bad guy? Was he a good guy? Was he misunderstood? Was he, you know, good heart, bad choice guy? Like, it was so much about him that you really never got, I felt, a deep enough look into his psyche, into what kind of person he was. The film has a lot of sexually themed scenes, but the suspense was riveting, as I would like it to be. And again, as I said, it had all the elements of a great film, just missed the mark somewhere. But not a bad film, just not a great one. The story, at times you may feel like it's spinning out of control, but the director does a good job of kind of, towards the end, it all kind of comes back to one place. Like I said, I just think the problem was I didn't feel for the characters as much as I wanted to feel for them. I think there was a disconnect with the characters. Overall, I give it a 6 out of 10. I'm not sure this is streaming anywhere right now, to be honest. But if you look hard enough, you could find it, I'm sure. And if not, and you want to leave me a comment wherever you see this, I'll let you know where to get it. Obviously, I got it, so I'm sure I could get another copy of it for you. So if it's something that you need to help, you know, get a hold of, and you're interested in watching it, then drop me a comment. I'll see what I can do for you. Our next film, Wild City, 2015, Hong Kong, directed by the great Ringo Lam. We've spoken about Ringo Lam in depth on this podcast, but for those who might be new to the show, he's responsible for City on Fire, which in a way is responsible for Reservoir Dogs, Prison on Fire, Full Alert, among many others, 80s action films in Hong Kong. If they weren't John Woo, good chance it was Ringo Lam. Starring Louis Koo as T-Man. Louis Koo, of course, from Drug War, the election films, and over a movie I keep promising we're going to review, and we are at some point, Bullets Over Summer. We're going to review that in our wild card spot at some point fairly soon. Also starring Sean Yu as Su Hung. He is best known for the Infernal Affairs trilogy. Also, Invisible Target, Shamo, which he was very well received in. Starring also Tong Lia as Yun. She was in Taking of Tiger Mountain, which we reviewed on this podcast. And Joseph Chang as Blackie. He was awesome in the film Soul, along with Jimmy Wang Yu. And he's a actor that I think you should keep your eyes on, really. Tagline, these streets have their own justice. So what's this about? A pair of brothers unwittingly become involved in a bribery cover-up and the attempt to murder the one witness to it all. This is the long-awaited return of directorial legend Ringo Lam. I wonder if my hopes were too high for this film, because I felt let down from it. The signature action scenes from Mr. Lam are here, and in abundance. But if you've heard me in early reviews of his films, that's not what endears me most to his work. What's missing here is that image of how things aren't so black and white. It's really all shades of gray. Ringo's always had a knack for humanizing the villains, and in that, showing a sense of realism often missed in this genre. But here, we never really humanize the villains. I mean, yeah, we see them in a scene where they're singing and eating dinner. But, you know, right after that, they're talking about doing evil. Because that's what they are. They're just evil. Whether it's for money or revenge, they are abhorrent individuals. The police, which are sometimes shown to be imperfect individuals, here seem to be cookie-cutter cops with no substance or depth to their characters. Simon Yam, who's in this as well, is totally wasted, with really nothing to do other than give disappointed looks and short snipes at Louis Koo's character. Really a waste of a tremendous actor in Simon Yam. Now, this doesn't mean the acting was poor. I don't want to give that vibe that I think the acting was poor, because it wasn't. For what they were given, the acting was fine. Joseph Chang is a future superstar, and we see glimpses of that here. Lewis seems a bit stiff in this film, but okay. Sean Yu, who's kind of become an enigma in the industry, ranges from adequate to very good, which is kind of Sean Yu. The action scenes delivered, especially the couple of car chases that were very well done, not overly unrealistic. But unfortunately, the plot left a lot to be desired. Many of the characters' actions made no sense. The cops were downright incompetent throughout the film, shooting suspects and then just walking away, leaving the bad guy's gun lying there. There were other similar instances. I'm not going to pick apart every scene. But in the end, I just didn't feel like this was a Ringo Lam film. It felt, honestly, it felt like someone trying to make a Ringo Lam film. And I give this review with a heavy heart. I was lucky enough to have met the man last year, and he was just a joy. A very humble man when he has every right to not be. And so for that reason, I hope this won't be the last I see from him. I hold out hope to once again see the mastery of filmmaking he possesses. But for Wild City, I just have to be honest. I gave it a 4 out of 10. If you want to see it because it's Ringo, I definitely understand that. But don't get your hopes up too high. This film is currently on Netflix, so you can stream that if you have a Netflix account. It's beautiful print. I mean, I would check it out. If you're a Ringo Lam film and you like Hong Kong action films, you know, you gotta remember, I'm a self-proclaimed kind of a film snob, so my reviews might tend to be a little more harsh than others, but like I said, I hold this man in such high regard that I might have built myself up too much for this return and just didn't live up to what I thought was coming in my head. But again, I'm not telling you not to watch it. I just felt this didn't measure up to his classics. And I thought after so many years that we would get something like that. But like I said, I'm holding out hope. Ringo make another film. I know I'll watch it, and I'm sure I'll love it. Okay, our next film. This is our old school selection, and it's the Shaw Brothers film Masked Avengers out of Hong Kong, 1981, directed by the great Chang Che, starring Philip Kwok as Cao Yao, of course, Philip Kwok, the lizard from the Five Deadly Venoms, the Venoms Mob. He's usually the star in most of the Venoms Mob films. Liu Feng, who plays Lin Yangqi, Liu Feng, who played Centipede in the Five Deadly Venoms, and is usually the heavy in most of the Venoms Mob films. Chang Sheng, who plays Qi Shan Yuan, of course, in the Five Deadly Venoms, he plays the sixth student, some call him the hybrid. He's also most usually a hero in most of the Venom Mob films. And a couple of non-Venom Mob guys, Chu Ko, who plays Liang Young, and Chin Shu Ho, who plays Chang Chung. Chin Shu Ho, I believe was in Wing Chun. He's been around. Now, the tagline for this film is, everyone is hiding something. So what's this about? A group of heroes set out to put an end to a reign of terror by a masked gang of murderous bandits. Now, I wanted to see this because I always felt the dubbed version was somewhat confusing. So I figured, now that I had a subtitle version, that watching that would add some clarity to the story. I was wrong. This is one of Chang Che's lesser efforts. The characters have no rhyme or reason for their actions. The plot doesn't have holes, it has craters. Now, this is pushed as a Venoms Mob film, but honestly, there are only three Venoms in the film. As I went over, Centipede, Lizard, and the Sixth Pupil. The unsung star of this film, though, was Chin Su Ho. It was nice to see him getting as much screen time as he did. The acting was okay with what they had to work with, but once again, Chang's notorious lack of lead female characters is seen here again. I have heard numerous theories on why this is. I am not going to repeat these theories. I'm sure if you look online, you'll see them. I'm not going to repeat them because the theories are accusations. None of them substantiated. But I will say what is not substantiated is this is a growing thing that you see in Chang Cheng films is the lack of a female lead. And I don't know if this would have, a female lead would have helped this, but it couldn't have hurt. This film just really, I don't know. You know, when talking about a film of this genre, it's the action scenes that count. And they are good, for the most part. The climactic battle was excellent. But up to that point, it was okay. Nothing terribly memorable. In fact, other than the laughably bad masks of the three chiefs, which kind of look like evil gnomes, nothing is really memorable at all. There are so many great Shaw films and great Venom's Mob films, but this one is not in that category. I mean, if you're a fan of the stars of the film, if you're a Philip Kwok fan, like I love Philip Kwok, I'm a big Chang Shen fan, you know, and Chin Soo Ho and a little bit of stuff I've seen him in I've always liked. So, I mean, and it's good martial arts. Really, it is good martial arts. If, you know, for that reason, you want to see the film, I can't knock you. I mean, watch it. But I don't think you're going to be blown away by it. You know, as far as how I rate this film, you know, I give it a 4 as a story. But for the martial arts, I'd probably give it a solid 7. So I'll split the two into a 5.5 out of 10. And this is currently on Netflix. You can check it out there on Netflix. Masked Avengers. Like I said, it's not, you know, turn off bad, but it's really, it's just, you know, it's just really, it's not one of Chang Cheh's best films. This is the best way I can put it. Now, it's time for our wild card entry, and this is King of Beggars. Now, I told you guys that show, I promised I was going to review a Stephen Chow film, and I was going to keep that promise, and I am doing that here. This is made in 1992 out of Hong Kong, directed by Gordon Chan, who we just talked about last episode. As he was the director of Fist of Legend. He's also directed this. He directed the Fight Back to School films, the Royal Tramp films, the Four trilogy. Gordon Chan, very accomplished director in Hong Kong. Film is starring, I know I use this word a lot, but what else can you say? The immortal Stephen Chow, who plays So Chan, known also in history as Beggar So. Of course, if you don't know where Stephen Chow is from, Fight Back to School, which I just mentioned, Kung Fu Hustle. I'm sure many people listening to this have probably seen Kung Fu Hustle. He was the star of that film. God of Cookery, which is a film that I'm very strongly thinking about reviewing on this podcast at some point. Also starring Charlotte Chung as Yu Shang. She was one of the biggest stars of the wuxia genre of the 90s. You know, and she's also Chow's leading lady in many of his films. And she had a very good role in the God of Gambler series. Also starring Ning Mang Tat as General So, another of Chow's ensemble, if you will. Also, he was in A Moment of Romance, in which he received, I believe, a Hong Kong Film Award. Well, regrettably, I've never seen A Moment of Romance, but I've heard it's a good film. And Norman Chu as Chu Mo Kai, known best for me for Duel to the Death, City War, Wing Chun, the epitome of a villain. Tagline for this film is, he had to lose everything to have it all. So what's this about? A young, brash, rich man is decreed to become a beggar for life. But even that won't stop him from being the man he's destined to be. When I decided I wanted to review a Stephen Chow film, I had such a decision to make. He has so many films on his resume. And I decided on this film because it always had a special place for me. Now, for those who don't know Stephen Chow, while Jackie Chan is kind of given credit as the comedy king of Hong Kong, that's really not true, because Stephen Chow holds that honor. It is slapstick comedy, which usually I'm not a fan of, but honestly, Stephen is a true comic genius, and I just find his films very amusing. What separates this film, though, is he showed some range here. There are some serious parts, and Chow delivers perfectly. There's another Stephen Chow film. I believe it's called To Be Number One, which is not a... I believe it's To Be Number One. I could be wrong. And it's not a comedy at all, and he's amazing at it. So if people don't know, Stephen Chow has the chops when it comes to acting, but he's found his niche in comedy and he does it great. But in this film, he showed a little bit of that range. And although it's really for comedy, everyone turns in good performances. Norman Chu does what he does best, which is play an evil villain. I mean, it's like he's just born to do that. He's probably the nicest guy in the world, but he could play an evil bad guy. The story is based on the legend of Beggar So. He has been portrayed in other films, but for me, this is the quintessential Beggar So film. The comedy, as I said, is in abundance. Almost every great line is really given by either Chow or Ning Mang Tat. The story itself is one of laughter to love to tragedy and then to triumph. It really runs the spectrum of emotions. And, you know, I felt really bad for the So family when they lost everything, but then felt really happy when they regained their respect. So again, this film is just a little different than just, you know, sit back and laugh at. I just felt there was something a little special going on in this film. Now, the martial arts is Wuxia, which, for those that don't know, is kind of the magical martial arts. Some people refer to it as flying fu. Some hardcores are not fans of this. But if you're a fan of this style of film, then this is well done. You have to remember, Chow is not a martial artist. But in these type of films, that doesn't really matter because it's special effects that rule the day. And so, you know, him being a Wuxia film always works for me. And I actually think the Wuxia stuff works good for comedy as well. Although the fight scenes were not comedic fight scenes. They were pretty serious fight scenes, not comedic. But just heavy on the special effects and the flying wires and what have you. But like I said, that's not something that turns me off. I do understand why the hardcores don't like it. It's not real kung fu. And I'm like, well, if you want to see real kung fu, you could watch competitions of it. I mean, these are movies. And, you know, when you're going to make movies, there's going to be, you know, stuff that's dramatic. So, you know, I don't hate Wuxia films as some do. I like them. And, this is one of the better comedy Wuxia films that you're going to find. Now, there are many Stephen Chow films that I could recommend, and I'm sure in future shows I'm going to delve into them. But here is a great one to start you off on. I give King of Beggars a 7 out of 10. Check it out. This is also currently on Netflix. Gotta say, let's take a second here off script. Netflix has done a great job of Asian cinema. Hulu also has a pretty good library of Asian cinema, and a lot of it is for the regular Hulu, which is free. Some of it is, a lot of the Japanese stuff, I think, is only for Hulu Plus. But, you know, between Hulu and Netflix, there's a lot of places to stream Hong Kong film. There's also, I think, My Asian TV, which I've delved on once or twice. I haven't done a lot of streaming on there. That's another place you can look for and get a lot of films. But, of course, the thing with all of those is that Netflix is just a tremendous quality, high-def quality. So I'm just really happy to now be able to go on Netflix and just scan the foreign section and see how many great Asian films are there. So if you're not a Netflix customer and you've always wondered, do I really need to be a Netflix customer? If you want to watch some great Asian cinema in high def quality. Netflix might be worth it for you. And that's our show. I will let you know that yesterday I went to see Ip Man 3 and Stephen Chow's The Mermaid, and I will be reviewing those films on our next show. And that will probably be hopefully in about, it's not going to be a month, I promise you that. It will be in March. I'm hoping in the first week of March probably we'll be back. And until that point, I want to thank you as always for listening, and bye-bye.